You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. I mean, how quickly do things change? Earlier, just literally like about a month and a half ago, we sat down with the one, the only Carlos King and recorded this amazing episode. Then like the next day, they announced that Legacy isn't happening. If you guys heard me talk about Jill Zarin, I talked all about how she was the one that held out for more money. No one believed me. Now everyone knows. Sometimes when I say things, you got to believe them. Anyway, we have this great chat with Carlos King. It's only like a month and a half old, but we never shared it before and we're about to listen to it, but it was right before Legacy fell apart. So we talk about Legacy, but we also talk about New Jersey, why Teresa and Melissa will never, never be again. I'm not going to spoil what we talk about. Stay tuned for a chat from earlier this year, which is now being shared with the one, the only Mr. Carlos King.
Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. We have royalty back in the house. We are joined by the one and only Mr. Carlos King.
David, I miss you. Happy New Year. Listen, you know what your show's, David, it's so backlogged. So this may air in 2024, but if that's the case, Happy New Year too. I love seeing your face and talking to you. So I'm so thrilled.
Listen, I am not happy about my show being backlogged. We are really trying to make change. No one believes me when I say that. I know last time you were on and it came out a little bit later. We're gonna
all good. Time was perfect.
Are you starting with like a little bit of shade, Carlos? You're so good at it.
No, it wasn't shade. No, honestly, because you know I love you and I'm a huge fan of Behind the Velvet Rope. That was me letting your audience know that David is a workhorse. He has a lot going on. He does tons of interviews. So I'm happy to be in the seat. I have surpassed a velvet rope, darling, and I'm here. So whenever this airs, I am a happy camper.
Listen, in my ideal world, you would come on here once. And you think I'm joking? I would have you on once a week. We were just talking about Sarah. You would be the additional person. So just...
Can you imagine? First of all, Sarah Fraser, if you're listening, I love you. Love, love, love. And me, you, and David need to do something together, you know, once a month, once a year. I don't know. We're all busy. Let's figure it out. But we'll talk about this summer in the Hamptons.
You are invited. I have a great place in the Hamptons now. Like, I've changed. It's, trust me, you are invited. Speaking of which, listen, I'm going to jump right in. Like, where do you think we're going to start? We are going to start with the obvious. Lisa Rinna is gone from Beverly Hills, Carlos.
In the words of Lisa Vanderpump, ding dong. No, I'm teasing. David, I want to know your reaction. I was literally in my kitchen cooking my tofu, jasmine rice, a little tomatoes and spinach, and you know, some turmeric. And I'm just, you know how we are, you just scroll through because your food is cooking. I saw the headline of Lisa Rinna, and I'm like, this can't be true. So I'm like you. I need to go on like the certified blue check, you know, journalist blogs. And I was not expecting that. I think, unpopular opinion, I'm like you, who gives a fuck? Losing Lisa Rinna is a big loss to the franchise.
You think we'll feel it, and you think ratings will feel it?
The thing is this. My concern is executives are making decisions based on Housewives Twitter, based on the Twitter mob who are like, fire her, get rid of her. We saw that with Tamara Judge. We saw that with Dorinda. We saw that with Ramona. I feel like social media has this power over certain executives, and they're making casting decisions based on that, but it never works. When they let go of Tamara, I was like, oh, this is the dumbest decision ever. You need, and this is what I want people to know, and this is somebody who worked on Housewives for over 10 years. You need that personality who is going to push the envelope, because what you guys don't know, it's hard to get these women to open up. So when you have a cast member who's like, I'll fucking ask that question, or I'll go there, that is a producer's dream. And on Beverly Hills, the executives at the production company, Alex Baskin, said this: the difference between the OC and the Beverly Hills Housewives, OC will go there. Beverly Hills keeps things close to their chest. It's very private and secretive because that's the nature of the zip code. As you and I know, knowing people who lives in Beverly Hills, Lisa Rinna did not represent old school 90210. Kathy Hilton does, which is why Kathy Hilton, Crystal, I love Kyle, Dorit, those women are used to how 90210 works. And Lisa Rinna was the anti Beverly Hills woman. So yes, you're going to feel it because none of those current women are going to go there.
Do you think, you know, she did this interview with Interview Magazine. I don't know if you read it. I mean, it was great. It was pretty long. And I mean, she definitely talked about she left and why she left and her decision to leave. So is this her decision to leave, Carlos?
This is the thing. Lisa Rinna is an old school Hollywood actress. And unfortunately, and this needs to change, in Hollywood, when a woman reaches a certain age, the agents and the casting directors aren't calling you. Your phone isn't ringing off the hook the way it is for Jennifer Lawrence or Anne Hathaway. Lisa Rinna had a second win in life when it came to the Housewives. And she knew that. She knew that people did not see her as Billy from Days of Our Lives anymore, that they got a chance to see the personality. The fact that her best friend, Eileen Davidson, who's an amazing, legendary soap opera actress, even she got let go after being on for like 2-3 seasons max. But Lisa Rinna surpassed her, right? That showed Lisa Rinna that I may not be Eileen in the soap opera world, but with Housewives, which is why she said this and I disagreed, she thinks she's the LeBron James of Housewives, which is crazy. But it's because she felt that when it comes to this machine, I'm good at this. So I'm saying all that to say, David, I don't see Lisa Rinna leaving a job where she knows that you, and this is my advice to reality stars, you never want to leave if you choose to leave, which I think she got the pink slip. But no one leaves after a bad season. You always want to have your redemption season because based on the fact that this was your worst season in history, you left a bad taste in people's mouths, and it's going to be hard for you to get rid of that stain. Tamara Judge did it right by having the podcast with Teddy, because people forgot how she was her last season. And because she was so great in the podcast, they're like, come back, please. And now she's back. Lisa Rinna is going to have a lot of work to do. And that's why people like Sharon Stone sent the clap emojis under the headline of Lisa Rinna being off the show. What did you think about that, though, David? Sharon fucking Stone?
It's like, that alone is like, you are bigger than this show. Like you said, Lisa Rinna, I mean, you know, you think of her as Billy. I think of her as Taylor McBride from Melrose Place, honey. So, I mean, she is, you know, you're in Hollywood, like this town, like she has that clout in this. Look, she's not, you know, Jennifer Lawrence, but she has that, like she does, she can get on certain nighttime shows that people can't get booked on. She's still Lisa Rinna, whether these people hate her or not. So, yeah, I think the fact that Sharon Stone even knows who you are and it's like, goodbye, bitch, like, that's kind of legendary, right?
That's iconic to me. Like, that's better than the booze at BravoCon.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think, I mean, I agree. I think she got a pink slip. I mean, reading this article, I was like, man, she is just sticking with this story that she left on her own.
But no, David, so I would love your opinion on this. I feel like you and I are the same in the sense of when we leave a situation, a job, a person, place, or a thing, we really do move on and we don't harp on the stain of that situation. When you harp on the stain of a situation, you're bitter. No one's bitter when they leave. Because you feel like, okay, I left, I'm good, I wish them the best, let me just move on. The housewives who's left, they weren't bitter in interviews post leaving the show. I'll give a good example. When Lisa Vanderpump left, and she said, fuck this show, the reunion, I'm out of here, she didn't immediately do an interview. She was like, I'm out, and we all knew why, because she felt like the cast was like coming for her. And that was it. And every once in a while, she'll pop up and do something shady, but she wasn't retweeting posting her Insta stories about what a loss it was for Lisa Vanderpump to leave. When I saw Lisa Rinna repost all of these headlines of Lisa Rinna leaving is a loss for the show. Without Lisa Rinna, what is the show going to be? The Interview magazine, when they said, well, how do you feel about Garcelle and Sutton? Where they're going to have to work. That's not the personality of a person who left on their own accord. And it goes to show you that the more Lisa Rinna talks, the more we know this was not your decision.
Yeah. And I think like, okay, so this interview, you chose this person, you know, this vehicle, it, you know, I think this is it. Like you, it's everything about the show. Now I wouldn't comment at all if I were her. Like that was close. Like if you want to spin this narrative, I don't believe it. You don't believe it. We're both in the know. You know, we have good intuitions here. So it's probably you got a pink slip. But whatever story, now I would just stop. Like I wouldn't make any, you want to interview me? What do you want to talk about? Rinna Wines, Melrose Place, great. You can have one question. You know how it is with some of these people. I would be like, you can have one question about Housewives and that's it. Like I'm not doing a Housewives interview. Guess what? I would still say yes to interviewing Lisa Rinna if she said one question about Housewives or zero. So, you know, like—
Yes, because you could talk about Melrose Place.
I would talk to Lisa Rinna for an hour about Melrose Place, and we don't have to talk about anything else. I want to talk about Heather Locklear. I want to talk about Andrew Hsu.
Oh,
like,
and now Amy Robach. Yes.
Right. Like there's just, let's talk about, you know, yeah, we'll even talk about Josie Bassett and Laura Layton. Like, let's go. It is one of the best shows, if not the best show that's ever existed. So
it's the best show that Aaron Spelling ever created. May he rest in heaven. It's amazing. Ever.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So I had another great Vanderpump Rules party. Listen, we are all engrossed in the scandal, right? It's all we want to talk about here behind the velvet rope. And my parties have now become a regular thing. And it's great because last minute when I throw this all together, you don't think I planned this, even though it happens every week ahead of time. I order the pizzas and then I go to Drizzly for the alcohol. I'm a good host. You have to provide alcohol, right? Listen, Drizzly is amazing. It's the most convenient way to buy beer, wine, and spirits and have it delivered to your door in under 60 minutes. Are you as busy as I am? You don't have time to go to the alcohol store. You know, Drizzly is the number one app for alcohol delivery. And it's not just that the alcohol comes so quickly. They have every type of alcohol you pretty much want, such a wide variety of a selection. And I love that they basically are economical. They shop across multiple stores to compare prices, and they really find the best deals on what you're looking for. Vodka, tequila, after dinners, wine, champagne, everything you could imagine. So the next time you're having people over or maybe having a nightcap by yourself, download the Drizzly app or go to drizzly.com. That's Drizly.com, the number one app for alcohol delivery. So yeah, I think if she wants to go with this, I really love when it's like a Dorinda, oh, I was put on pause, which is basically like I was like, she kind of admitted it, right? Like just admit what happened.
Yeah, admit it. Yeah.
We're not stupid.
No, and that's the reason why, listen, I appreciate people like Tamara who said, I got fired and this is how I got the phone call. Because it goes to show you that there's something about people being honest to where the audience is on your side. Because when she was open about being fired, that's why you can't pay attention to Twitter. You fired Tamara. The next season sucks. Then everybody on Twitter is saying, we need Tamara back.
And it was two seasons that sucked. We had Elizabeth Vargas and Dr. Jen. It was two different seasons.
I know. About
you've blocked it. You've put it all in one season, haven't you? Yes.
Oh, honey.
2 years. This is two whole seasons. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You're so right. 2 years. Yes. 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 That's the thing. So, look. You and I are fans of Beverly Hills. It's one of my favorite franchises. Like I said, I do love Kyle. I know a lot of people don't. I love her. I think she's the face of the franchise. But Kyle isn't there to be messy. And I don't want to see Kyle messy because you need somebody who's the glue to the show. She's like the Carrie Bradshaw, right? I wish Dorit was back in her villain era. I'm so bored, disappointed, and mad at Dorit that she allowed the Twitter mob to change who she was. And for the past five seasons, or maybe three to four, she's been coasting. So you keep Crystal, but you get rid of Lisa Rinna.
It's weird.
You thought Diana was going to be the villain. And so did she with her rehearsed line. You're looking for a villain? So here I am. And she was a huge disappointment. It's hard to be a villain in Beverly Hills. Kathy Hilton has shown everybody, if you want to come for me, I'm going to ostracize you from the community. And she did that.
It is no joke. People don't, like I said this all year, like people, it's a real thing. Hilton, Kardashian, like it's a real old school Hollywood thing. It is.
Don't get me started. Do not come for Chris. Listen, I'm more afraid of Kris Jenner than Kathy.
I say that you listen to my podcast. I am afraid. Like when I say something, I'm like, hi, Chris, I just want to let you know, I'm not saying this. I think you're great. Yeah, I'm not getting on the bad side. I mean, I'm afraid of Kathy Hilton too. And Carlos, I'm not afraid of most people. I'm afraid of Kathy Hilton, and I'm definitely afraid of Kris Jenner. Kris Jenner could shut down the whole fucking town with one call, okay? Right? I'm not getting on her bad side.
Never in a million years. No, I love you, Kris. I really do. I love the Kardashians. And listen, Kathy Hilton, I will say this. I enjoyed Kathy Hilton her first season. I think Kathy Hilton drank the Kool-Aid of Twitter saying you're the best thing since sliced bread. And I like it when Kathy was just being herself. And look, none of us was an Aspen, but I think there's always a truth within those stories.
Do you think Kathy will be back though?
Yes, Lisa's gone. I think, listen, David. That's part of the reason why they had to get rid of Lisa. I think they had to weigh their options. And I'm telling you, unfortunately, and listen, this is the power of Twitter. They listen to Twitter when it comes to that show. Or those shows, rather.
And like Paris Hilton is now, do you see all these Paris Olympic things where it's like these, it's great branding, brilliant idea, guys. But that's NBC. Paris Hilton is doing it. I'm like, oh, this runs deep. You don't
want it runs deep.
They want Paris, Kathy. They want all in any form, just for the future, not even for today. They just want some option. Yeah, I really think that has to something to do with it.
Yeah, and I think that's why Lisa Rinna. And listen, I feel bad for Lisa Rinna because you lost your mom and you lost her job. And that's, David, when you really think about it in that sense, I really do feel sorry for her. It must be tough. And I think she knew that. And this is why, as a producer, I feel bad for her too. I feel like Lisa Rinna's like, I was just doing my job. That's it. And the fact that a woman can come on the show as a friend of, and I do my job. I tell the truth. I stir the pot to make great television, to make sure we have high ratings. And you're going to fire me at the expense of me doing my job. And that's the part that sucks. And that's why they're going to really see that she's going to be missed, because none of those, let's tell me if I'm wrong, David. I don't see any of those women, Sutton, Garcelle, Kyle, Dorit, Erica, Crystal. I don't see any of them having 10% of courage to do what Lisa Rinna has done in the past 8 seasons.
No, and that's what Lisa was saying. She's like, let's go down the list. Kyle, it would be epic. The audience would literally, you would cry if Kyle came back as the biggest villain in town, but she doesn't have it in her. She wants to be liked. That's the problem. And I think especially now when Rinna's fired, now they're all going to be timid. It sends a really bad message. No one's going to do it now, right?
No, the thing is this, you... Guys, hello, is this thing on? Look at what happened to Diana. Diana really thought, this is my opinion. Diana thought, I'll come on the show. This will be fun. I have all this money, but I'm not famous. I rub elbows with Elton John. I can get him on the show, which was fucking epic alone. Like, she brought Elton fucking John on Housewives. That shows you how long Diana's money is. Diana had everything, a hot young pop star as a a lover, beautiful kids, the closet that Erica Jane's like, damn, bitch, you surpassed me in that wardrobe department. But she did not have fame. And when she came on the show, I think she said, now let me have the fame. And there's nothing more delicious than being a villain. When you know that I have so much money, you guys can't cancel me. I'm rich. So when she tried to play the villain card, she was fine when the season wrapped. It wasn't until, David, the episode started airing and she was just like, oh, fuck. This housewife shit is deep. That's why she paid attorneys to figure out the bots with Garcelle's son. That's why she constantly started to, like, threaten to sue people, cease and desist. It's like, bitch, it's housewives. Like, this is what Twitter does. They come for you. Just deal with it. She couldn't handle it. And that's why she was like, I'm not coming to the reunion. I'm going to, she's so rich, she was able to fake a COVID test. That's how rich she is, David. I don't think she had COVID conveniently in Hawaii, where her glam squad isn't wearing a mask, and she did not cough one time. So she was like, let me at least, again, bow out gracefully, because she knew, like, bitch, I'm not coming back to this fucking show. It disturbed my life. Let me be rich. It goes to show you it's not easy being a villain. None of the women in Beverly Hills, besides Faye Resnick, wants to be a villain.
Well, bring Faye on. I know I agree with all of that. I'm not so sure this is the right way to go. You know, I'm not shocked. I think the bigger problem is, like you said, if they are listening, and two things. Well, one, when you say about Rinna, like, it is, she just was doing her job. That's like a thing. I don't even think she was just doing her job as a producer. You know, Carlos, they're like, Dorinda, you go, girl. You tear that Tinsley down. Like, they're like, we know, here, go. So I think she wasn't just doing her job. They were all season like, girl, you are doing great. Knowing that we are sending you out to, like, you jumped off that boat and you come up, you know, when you go on a dive and you come up and you look around and the ship is, and then you're there in the open water and the sharks come and get you and you just die because you floated away from your ship. I think they set her up for, like, the dive, right? Like, I think they led Dorinda to the slaughter and they led. So I don't even think she was doing her job. I think they were like, girl, you are so great.
Yeah. Right?
Knowing what, so that's where it's like, that's so true. It's like, I think that she really thought not only she was doing her job, that she was going to, like, get a raise from this, that this was her big moment. And I think they knew, kind of like, yeah, girl.
Yeah. Once the footage started to come in and the moment, because, oh my gosh, David, you're right. And this is where your attorney mind comes in. Oh my gosh, I didn't think about this till you said it. The moment Aspen happened and Kathy Hilton allegedly had that freak out and she threatened NBC Universal allegedly and all those things, once that got back to production and the network and stuff, to your point, I think at that very moment, they were like, this can get really nasty and we have to, like, boop, boop, bye, Lisa. You're right. That's when they knew, yeah, your days are numbered. You're right.
And it's like, let's just set her up to just, like, look, Dorinda took an epic fall. Lisa, I think they encourage it as it's happening. Right?
So what's going to happen? She's going to be an ultimate girls trip now?
I can't see Lisa doing that. Can you?
She likes a check, though, David. But the pride surpassed the paycheck.
It should, right? Speaking of ultimate girls trip, I mean, Alex, I am speechless. We have Alex McCord, speechless.
Shocked. So you know what? You and I are the same in the sense of, and I said this on my podcast, you and I hear things way before people start to leak stories. But the beauty of you and I, the moment we hear something, we don't go and run to our podcast to reveal it, because I think the world needs to know this. There's a respect level that we have with our sources and with the community. We don't want to be seen as, like, that guy. So I think for you and I, it's better to make sure that we sustain our relationship versus breaking the story. Like you, I'm pretty sure you knew way before it was confirmed. So I say all that to say, when I was told who the cast was, like, a month or two before it was announced, I said, wait, bitch. Alex is leaving Australia to grace us with her presence on Ultimate Girls Trip. And look, it wasn't like Alex was, like, this super iconic, legendary reality star, but she had some great moments before she got let go. And I'm so thrilled to see what she's up to see if she got some spark in her. And the fact that Brandi Glanville came for her when Alex said, I'm catching up on all of these episodes. Tell me about Brandi Glanville. And Brandi Glanville ripped her to shreds. Alex is the one to watch.
I think so. And I totally agree with you. Like, you know, listen, I say this all the time. I don't understand all these sites that are like blind item. And you read it and you're like, this is so like, you know, I'm friends with Margaret Joseph. She was here. It's like, Margaret is going on Girls Trip. I'm like, I don't even want to respond to it. Like, I don't understand. Like, should you and I have a new podcast where I'm just like, Carlos, there's a new Girls Trip tomorrow and it's going to be remote. Like, I mean, what an easy job. Like, let's just make something up and go with it. And then it gets legs. Like, I think we have too much respect to our audience to give that light. Like, you read something, you're like, how is this even like getting any legs? It is so preposterous. Sutton and Garcelle are going to be on Girls Trip. And it's the things are so false. It's so strange. I don't understand. Should we just have a new podcast? Like, I'm just going to make shit up. That's an
make
easy
shit
job.
Up. No, but that's the world we live in. People make shit up for the engagement and the clicks and the likes. And that's why, listen, you and I have sustainability because our audience knows if I hear from Carlos or David, then it must be true. And that's what we have going for ourselves. So it always bothers me when people, like, something came out a few months ago. Porsha's coming back to Atlanta. And I'm like, bitch, she actually isn't. I'm actually going to her wedding. Oh, they're going to film her wedding for the... I'm at the wedding. There's no cameras here, guys. You're lying. But they want it for the engagement. So no, if you didn't hear from David or Carlos, then honey, it ain't true.
Seriously. Because then when we say, hey, listen, this is like 99% true, listen, because then it is, right?
Yes. Yes.
I am shocked. And the thing about Alex too, I think she's the one to watch. I think because to me, like that posting, like that really is organic. Brandy is totally wrong. Like she really doesn't know about you. She's not trying to get followers in Australia. Like Alex is truly like, who is Brandy? Who is Camille? That's why it's going to be so great because she really has no, why did she say yes? What, just it's money for a week of work? Why not? Right? I guess, is that what it is?
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This work year has been more stressful so far than any year I've had in a really long time, all because of this podcast. And you guys know I'm a workaholic and I have such a hard time taking my mind off of work. But one thing that really has helped me is the mobile game Love and Pies. Now, I am not a gamer. I mean, you think of me, you don't think of a gamer, right? But it's not just that this game takes my mind off of work. It's that Love and Pies is related to our reality TV that we talk about here every day. There's more drama in this game and more intrigue than the shows that we watch. There's a woman named Amelia Green. You kind of play as her. She's a single mom. She moved to the countryside after a rough divorce. She discovers all these dark family secrets. Amelia's mom is missing. And the more you play, the more I play, I get sucked in and I just want to keep advancing. But don't take my word for it. More than 4.5 million people downloaded this game in the first year. And just in case you're wondering, it's free to download. So for a tasty mix of love and drama, download Love and Pies for free today. That's Love and Pies, free to download in the App Store or Google Play.
That's why everyone says yes, and I'm sure your friends who are on the show said this too. They get a shitload of money. When I say shitload, I mean in comparison to working for a week.
Like, you know, what is it for the week? 100 or 250? I heard like, yeah,
it's
OGs,
it's like mid to high six figures. That's... Bitch, to go on an international trip.
I know how you're miserable on day one. Guess what? You got 6 days left for, you know, $150,000.
Yes, that's it. That's why the Bluestone Manor cast was mad because they're like, bitch, we don't get an island like the first season cast. We have to be schlepped to fucking Dorinda's home. They were my friends who are on the show were so mad. Like, Carlos, we're like stuck in this house. It's disgusting. Dorinda, they said that, not me. So no, the luxury of going to Morocco. Sign me up. So I think Alex is this. I think she was like, it's a week. It's six figures. It could be fun. Why not? It's not the end of the world. And I'm sure her husband was like, yeah, baby, do it. And he's such a mastermind. I mean, the motherfucker created a Bravo's ratings Twitter handle when he was on the show, which was interesting. So I think there's such interesting business people before Doreen and PK that he's going to take that and leverage it into something. Something's going to happen once that airs, that's going to benefit Alex and her husband.
Do you think they secretly are like, this is the gateway? I think they would love Alex for Legacy, right?
I think Alex and Legacy would be genius. And listen, I do believe that Alex is happy in Australia. You know, I don't think Alex is thirsty to be back on reality TV, but you and I know this, honey. Once that bug bites you, I think Alex is going to say, and that's why it's genius to get her on. Let her have a taste of it for a week. And I think she's going to go back home to her husband and say, can I go to New York for 3 months? You know, like, it's going to be hard to deny that, baby. It's going to be hard.
It's like, it's kind of like Alex did what very few do. Like, you convince yourself you're over it. And I think she really was. Like, she got there. However you get there. And then, yeah, it's going to be like, was I really over it? Or did I just have to be over it? Because, like, I was ostracized and it was about Luann and Ramon. And it's like, nobody wanted me. But wait, I really would have stayed for the last 10 years if they would have kept me. It's yes. It's like you convince yourself, which is okay. You got to do what you got to do. I think that might happen.
That's very smart. No, I think you're right. Getting fired from a housewife, and then two things happen. When you lie and say it was a mutual decision or, I decided to pursue other opportunities. Girl, there's no other opportunities outside of housewives. And listen, and that's not shade, it's the truth. Life at the housewives is very, 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 very slim. It's hard to have another career because you are tainted as a housewife. And I know this because, you know, my job is to pitch shows and create shows. Whenever I used to pitch a former housewife, the network would say, that's not our brand. That's not our brand. It's really hard to do so. So I think to your point, Alex had to convince herself that, okay, just move on. And I think she got to that place where she did move on. But the moment the phone rang, I think to your point, she was like, am I over it? Let me test the waters. And once she tests these waters and for 7 days in Morocco, she'll be back on Legacy.
That's what people don't understand. It's like the whole thing where, like, you hear, and no shade, I'm sorry, guys, but no shade. You and I speak the truth. No shade to, like, Jackson, Brittany. You hear about, like, this father show. Once you're a known entity on what you're a producer on one show, like, what you did with Monique was really the rare exception.
It's rare. Once
they would rather have a stranger than Jax. He's Jax from Vanderpump. Now he has changed. He has, but that doesn't matter. Not to the public.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's hard. The Monique was the exception because of starting a spinoff of a franchise. And she wasn't, because she wasn't like the face of Potomac and wasn't on for a long time, she did not have that stain, essentially. So we were able to sort of like use that to our advantage and show more of her life with her husband. Because that's what that show's about. It's about couples and not just about the women's relationships. But when it comes to other stuff, that's why Brandi Glanville, who's a great reality star, yeah, you could do The Apprentice and, you know, these one-offs
about
dating and stuff. But to have seasons upon seasons, it's very, very, very slim chance. And that's why when it comes to Lisa Rinna, I don't see her leaving on her own because I think she knows that it's a very slim chance for her to see another unscripted opportunity that has multiple seasons
and $1 million. I mean, she, I'm sorry. This was her eighth. Like, she was up way up there, right? She was up there.
Yes.
She's not walking away from that money. I'm sorry. Bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. And no mortgage.
Right. Now, before we, I mean, I could spend 3 hours with you. Before we move on to Jersey, here are two quick things. I mean, do you think, well, I mean, you had your, you know, interview with Ramona. She calls it legacy loser. We all know, listen, Ramona was fired. Let's just be honest. I mean, are we excited? I mean, where is the legacy cast? Like, look, it's obviously contracts are out, like Jill and Kelly and Luann and Sonia and Dorinda, five. Where are, okay, so can you have a legacy without Ramona? How is that even like a thing? It seems to be happening. And now we have five people. Where are their sixth and or seventh person coming from? I have the names here. We can go down the list. It's not, it's very slim pickings. You want Jules Weinstein? No offense. She's, we're talking, we're using the word legacy now. So, I mean, maybe we'll call it something else. Is Jules
don't
in there?
Don't call it legacy. Go ahead.
You can't call it legacy.
No.
So we have Kristen Tateman, Heather Thompson. They could have used, but they're not going to now. After she came back, it just—it's nothing against her. I love her. She was on my show. They did her dirty on 13, and her edit was rushed. They're not using her. Carol Raswell. I mean, come on, they're not using her. She says she's not going to do it. I actually might believe Carol that she's over Housewives. You're not going to do Jules, Kristen, Cindy Barshaw. Who I know. No offense.
No offense.
We are down to like basically Tinsley Mortimer. Yes.
Who I actually love. I love her. So legacy's a stretch, but I do love her.
But I don't know if she really wants to do it. And then you have Ebony, who I love. They're not going to use Ebony.
No,
love her.
I love her too. Love her too. That happening.
I don't love her and they're not going to use Leah. Don't love her and they're not using her. Let's be clear. I love Ebony and they're not using her. I do not love Leah and they're not using her. Let's just be very clear about
that. You made that very clear, David. You do not love Leah.
Not at all. And so we're literally out of human beings. Tinsley and Alex are the only two that could round out this cast. And I'm not so sure either of them would do it. Maybe Alex. Now we're down to five, and we all know five is the kiss of death. So how is this show going to work?
It's not going to. So let me just, listen, I have to be honest, and this is coming from my producer background. You can't call a show legacy without Ramona, without Bethany. And look, I know when it comes to Bethany, you either love or hate her, right? But I like to go off the fact of the title, and this is the title that they decided to use based on the exclusive to Variety magazine. So we're not making this up. They called it legacy. So I'm basing this off of what they said. They called it legacy. And I think our minds, David, went towards like, wait, Bethany, Ramona, Sonia, Luann, Jill Zarin, maybe Alex. Oh, I'm into that shit. Yes, let's do it. And then it started to dwindle with like, Bethany said I'm not doing it. And I believe her. She's not going to do it. Ramona isn't doing it. And look, I love Sonia. I love Luann. I love Luann.
Love
Luann. I'm mad that I missed a cabaret in Los Angeles a few months ago last year.
Are you going to be in New York like February, March? She's doing a circuit.
I can be. Give me some tickets, David. That's your girl.
Okay, let me. I'm gonna. I'll DM you.
I'll give you.
Okay, we'll go. I'm very serious.
Okay, let me know.
Okay.
Love Luann, and Luann will say this too, and this is the reason why you and I are friends with people who get good television. Well, you and I are both saying. Luann will say, Sonia would say, you mean to tell me we're doing a show called Legacy without Ramona? This is why Lisa Rinna's absence is going to be felt. Ramona was the star of Ultimate Girls Trip season one. She was the star. She knows how to clock in and be herself, but also give good television. The mashup between her and Kenya Moore was genius because Ramona knew what she was doing. You know good and well not to call Kenya Moore a bitch. But Ramona knew, like, let me see how far I can go with this woman. And then she cries her tears. but she knew to give us good television. Luann, Sonya, Dorinda, they're not going to stir the pot. And I think the thing with Dorinda is this. She's the one that's going to have to be more careful because some of the stuff she does just isn't entertaining. It comes across a little bit sad. And I think with Ramona, say what you want about her. It was a shock value of Ramona where you still felt like I'm entertained at least. And that's what's going to be missing from Legacy.
So why do you think, I mean, I have my own theories, but why do you think, and then we have to talk Jersey, why do you think Ramona is fired?
Listen, I think based upon Twitter, I think of based upon, yeah, I think, listen, I think it's a lot of things, right? Obviously, she said on my podcast that there was an investigation about racism and nothing was founded. And then Ebony on her podcast responded and said, and went into deeper detail about, you know, she may have said the N-word and all those things, which again, we don't know if any of these things happen because you and I don't work for human resources. So I think a lot of that sort of unearthed this sort of like cautionary tale when it came to the Ramona train. Let me just tell you my opinion.
And I'll give you mine, and it's just what it is. I've always said
it is what it is. I think Ramona is the sole reason why they split the show into two. Period.
Really?
She's the reason. Because I think they were definitely 50-50 with Ramona, right? Which is why the show was split into two. And I think just based on the interviews and Twitter and everything else going, the other stuff going on New York, the first 2 weeks of filming, okay? I think all of that problematic stuff just made them say, like, we can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm similar to that, but I'm more like, I just think truly, I mean, whether she's really ever said this or not, specifically, I think that Ebony did, there was an investigation. And then I just think, like, legally, like, if you're not going to have Ebony on this network in some respects, you almost can't have Ramona. I think there's some, it's too much exposure of, like, wait, I launched an investigation. You found nothing, but now the woman's employed. I just think, regardless of contracts and what sign, that legally is exposure for a lawsuit from Ebony. No, I'm not saying she would do. I'm just saying, and they're just, and to add fuel to the fire, all your stuff. And I'm just like, we just legally can't. Like, I think somebody legally is like, this woman's great TV and she's great ratings. We can't do this. It's legally like, we had an investigation, alleged N-word, all sorts of other things. And now we're employing her and the other woman is fired.
Yeah.
I think that's just where my mind goes. Just so
no,
like,
and that's why.
And someone's like, I don't give a fuck, Andy. I don't give a fuck, other person. Squash the shit. I don't want to hear the word Ramona ever again. It's coming. Yeah. That's what I think from such a high level. We got to move on, guys. That's what I think.
What? And honey, that's why you're a lawyer. And that's why, based on that information from the, because I love that you and I are having this conversation because my angle is more of the producing side and yours is obviously like, let's talk about the legalities of it. Your idea trumps mine because I think people forget that it's not just the network or Housewives franchise. It's a big ass conglomerate that is overseeing this entire enchilada, and it's bigger than anybody. And I think there's some plausibility to what you said. Absolutely.
I just think that. I think they would love Ramona. I mean, let's just for a minute. So, I mean, for 10 years, 11 seasons, there's this thing out there, Melissa, Teresa, and all Teresa has to do is come on your podcast and you have to say this. And now it's like the light is lifted. And, you know, they did come on the show behind Teresa's back. Where were you, Carlos, for 11 years? Teresa had the realization right in front of you. What's going on here?
I know. It's so funny. Who would have thought my podcast, Reality with the King, would be spilling tea that happened 10 years. David, and you know me, we're talkers. So Teresa's on my podcast. We're catching up. And it came up with how how Melissa got on the show. And look, I'm a lot of things. I'm not going to lie. And I'll say this too. I don't dislike Melissa. I don't know Melissa. Me and Melissa never had conversations because I produced seasons 1 and 2 of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Melissa and Joe came on season 3. I was already gone before they hopped on the show. So I want to make that clear. I'm not a Melissa hater or Joe Gorga hater. I don't know them. Teresa is a good friend of mine and I do adore her. If Teresa was lying, I would say, Teresa, that's not how I remember it. Teresa is not lying. So based on my conversations with Teresa, I was Teresa's producer seasons 1 and 2. I would see Melissa attend different events that Teresa would have, whether it was Adriana's baptism, whether it was a kid's birthday party. I would see Melissa. Melissa was there. I would never engage with her because my focus was on the cast. I don't know how she found out who I was, though, but, and this is back in 2009, Melissa did friend me on Facebook, right? And I thought that was kind of strange. And I told Teresa, because that's my, I'm a producer. I'm like, your sister-in-law friended me on Facebook. And she's like, that's weird. And I said, yeah. And I promise you, David, I'm a young little whippersnapper. So I think nothing of it. I'm just like, okay, whatever. And then fast forward to a week before filming of season 3 was going to commence of New Jersey. And Teresa calls me freaking out because she got confirmation that Melissa is joining the show and they wanted Teresa to attend Melissa and Joe's son's christening, right? And she was so sad. She freaked out. She wanted to quit the show. She was hurt. And she called me, honey, on a Sunday afternoon. And I had to talk her off the ledge like, it's your show. Show up. It'll be fine. And the one thing she kept saying to me, David, was, Carlos, I do not want to fight with my family. I just don't. I saw what it did to Dean and Caroline's relationship. I don't want that. And she was so hurt. So when Melissa said, of course, fast forward to 10 years later, I had our friend Margaret on my show, and Margaret said, well, Melissa said that she told Teresa she was being interviewed. And this goes back to, I feel like, just being honest, and I think people can move on. Teresa did not know Melissa was being interviewed. She would have told me. She found out that Melissa pretty much was going on the show because they wanted Teresa to attend the christening. And that's how she found out. So, of course, it became, you know, he say, she said, I'm telling you my truth based on what happened 10 years ago. And the only thing I can say is, look, Teresa is a lot of things. She's not going to lie about that. And I will stand by that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Teresa as a liar. What about, I mean, are you aware of the stuff? Because I'm really team neither, but are you aware of what's going on with the Gorgas? Like Carolyn Russo, her ex-friend, is coming out and claiming, you know, Joe was like physically abusive. Jan, I mean, yeah, really. Whoa. I mean, she literally said that. She used the words. Jan, her ex-friend, is coming out and saying, you know, you're lying about this. Now there's this other woman who, I guess on the show, she said that woman with blonde hair, I think her name is Jackie, took everything from Envy and left in the middle of the night. The woman's now like, I have to speak up. So there's people out of nowhere from that were on the show, you know, like one episode,
yeah, yeah,
that are now like, I'm going to raise my hand and jump on the bandwagon of why Melissa's a total fucking liar. Now, all this is happening. Melissa's now responding to a lot of comments online when someone's like, you don't do this, blah, 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 blah. Does this remind you of anyone else at the beginning of a season where there's hate that's building and your social media now is getting a little out of control and you normally never respond? Melissa does not respond to fans, so to speak.
Yeah.
Does this remind you of anyone?
I'm trying to think. I don't...
Do you want? Because I can tell you who it reminds me of.
No, tell me.
Reminds me of Lisa Rinna.
Oh my gosh, you're so smart. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I mean, I don't want to sway you, but out of nowhere, there was this. I'm telling you, if you really follow it, and maybe it's just because of Kim D, and there's a lot of, all of a sudden, everybody is like, wait, I have a Gorga story. I have a Melissa. I'm telling you, I feel it building. I feel it building.
So do you think it's because, Melissa is being shown based on people's truths, right? Or alleged truths, that she'll do anything to get on the show or do anything to become famous, that these people are now saying Teresa has been right all along. And let me tell you my experience with Melissa and the Gorgas, because what has been interesting is I was reading some TikTok and someone was saying how they felt that the Gorgas was always protected. And again, I didn't work on the show the moment the Gorgas got on the show, so I don't know that. I can tell you season one and two, nobody was protected, which is why everybody made great television, from Danielle to Teresa to Caroline to Jacqueline to Dina. Everybody's shit was on the table, literally on the table, and it got flipped. So there seems to be this, I'm not going to say campaign, because to me campaign sounds like it's intentional, but it's interesting that the House of Cards is crumbling when it comes to Melissa and Joe. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, to your point, Melissa all of a sudden is working overtime to change the narrative. And it makes you wonder, is there some truth in what these people are saying?
Yes. And I think it's a lot of things. I think, look, people love a mob mentality. We had Erica Jane, then we had Lisa Rinna. It's like, you know, you love that mob mentality, but I feel it. Maybe it's just because I'm focused on Jersey, because here I am, but I feel it with Melissa. And yes, she's working overtime. Is there truth? And then it's almost like you work overtime when you really feel, wait a second, I'm smart and I know how this works. Just like Lisa Rinna, like, this might be the end for me. Like, do you think this could be Melissa's last season?
Well, this is what's interesting. I would have never thought in a million years, and this is a confirmation that this is why Lisa Rinna's gone. When Kathy Hilton said, either Lisa Rinna or me, I'm somebody who worked for that franchise for 10 years. That's the kiss of death. Like, well, bye, because we will never give you the impression that you control the show. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's the kiss of death. Bye, Kathy. It was a nice run. When she said that, and then a month or two later, Lisa Rinna got fired, I said, that's not a coincidence to me. Teresa has said on my podcast, everywhere, I am done with the Gorgas. I'm done with my brother. I'm done with Melissa. I will never speak to them again. If Teresa still feels that way, I don't see a world to where Melissa and Joe can come back from that. You need Teresa. Because at the end of the day, it's this. Teresa is in this interesting position that I've never seen before. Because Kyle is the face of Beverly Hills. But Kyle never has a villain era. Because Kyle likes to, of course, be nice and likable. Teresa doesn't give a fuck. You see Teresa like, oh, bitch, that was mean. Or, oh, shit, Teresa has been Queen Bee, Miss Congeniality, a villain, all those things. And she has stood above ground. Melissa has always tried to come across as America's sweetheart. And because Teresa gives a lot to the show that Melissa can't even imagine giving 10% of that, they're going to choose, if it comes down to it, they're going to choose Teresa over Melissa any day of the week.
100%. I say all the time, I think Teresa is the number one most protected housewife in the whole all the franchises. Number one.
I agree. Her and Kyle, to me, are neck and neck.
Kyle is number two to me. Like,
yeah, agreed.
I think, you know, you fire Vicky, you fire Rinna. I mean, we'll fire anyone, Teresa never, and Kyle is a close second. And I literally don't think there's anyone else that everyone else can be fired. I say the exact same thing.
Yeah. And look, Bethany and Lisa Vanderpump would have been on that list if they did not quit. You would have to quit the show. If Bethany picked up the phone today and said, I changed my mind, they'd be like, contract, make it work. If Lisa Vanderpump says, I want to come back, contract, make it work. And they will never get fired. But because they decide to quit, that's that reason. But yes, Kyle and Teresa will never get fired.
Never. That's it. Never. So I agree. And I think even if Teresa doesn't give them an ultimatum, to your point, because you said this on Heather McDonald's show, that you think that Harry and his brother are going to make up before. I agree with you. Kim and I say this all the time. Like, it's like, if you even listen in interviews, Teresa is like, look, I wish them the best of luck. Like, I'm just really like, when she sat there and looked across the table and told Kathy and Rosie that they were cancer, and Kathy and Rosie said, so like, I don't understand, like, you want nothing to do with us. And she's like, she could barely say it. She actually felt bad, but she's like, I don't want anything to do with you. She's actually very calm. If you listen to interviews, she's like, it's nothing personal. I'm really done with them. And she's really done. She's done.
And I know her personally. So I'm glad you said that. She was calm. She was like, I'm just done. And when she said it to me on my podcast, I was like, oh, I believe you. I believe you. You're done. And the reason why she really is done is two reasons. It's because her brother, and this is what I will say. And again, I don't know the Gorgas, but I have common sense. I do feel like the Gorgas would have done anything to make a good show at Teresa's expense. I do believe that. And when Teresa said, because what people don't know, David, Teresa doesn't watch the show. She does not watch episodes. When Teresa is done filming, and guys, listen to me. When Teresa's done filming, she goes back to her life. She doesn't do a lot of press unless it's to leading up to the premiere. She wakes up, cooks for the kids. She picks them up from school. She goes to every dance recital. She's a mom. She doesn't watch the show. When she said to me, Carlos, I started watching old episodes and I saw what my brother said about me. So it was confirmation to her that, and she said this to me, if I would have known then what they were saying about me, I would have never continued on filming with them. She's done.
And two things. Yeah. I mean, I've been at filmings like, you know, like in the past 3-4 years, when it's cut, you know, the girls, Margaret, Melissa, they'll stay, they'll drink, you know, it's a party. Like, it's a free party. Let's stay. The minute it's at Teresa is the mic pack. She's very nice about it. She'll place the mic. It's like the girl is out the door with it. She's which I listen, that's why, love her or hate her, that's, it is authentic because she is herself. It really is a job. She gives it authentically, and then she just goes back to her life. And also, if you see things with Melissa and Joe with like interviews, they're not saying, and then we'll wrap up, they're not saying the same thing that Teresa's saying. They're not saying let's be best friends, but they are. I think they understand the writing's on the wall. They're saying like, oh, you know, and like, we'll see. And like, I think they would gladly pull back and try to make amends and go to this wedding. And just if they could, I think they realize, holy shit, a million, 1.5 is going away. I do. I think they, Melissa realizes that she might be losing her big paycheck and the fame. I mean, she'll always be famous, but you know what I'm saying? Like you said, life after Housewives.
Yeah, but there's no,
it's
life
not the
after.
Same.
There's not the same. And listen, Melissa needs to, and this is why you got to be smart. Melissa, you were on Ultimate Girls Trip with Teresa. That would have been a signal to me, David. We will always be a package deal. Like, I can't do anything without her. And I think Melissa, who's gorgeous, great body, she's good to look at. I think she tries so hard to get out of Teresa's shadow that she really tried to have her own moments on the show, cultivate her own friendships with Margaret and Jackie. I will say this, my opinion, we could end here, but tell me your opinion, and Kim D's. Because we know that Jackie got demoted, do you really think Melissa is still going to cultivate that friendship with Jackie?
Kim D says it all the time. And then we'll add that it's, you know, what friendships are real on this show? No, I don't. I really don't. To be honest with you, I don't even know if, you know, she would keep up with Mar. I, from what I've observed, I mean, I'm not talking that. I think Margaret and Jackie are probably close as real friends. And I'm not sure Melissa, I mean, no offense to anyone involved. I'm not sure Melissa and Margaret would be like this.
No.
Should Margaret would be off the show one day. But I don't think that. I just think this, I think I said it about Lisa Rinne at the beginning of the season and then I changed my mind. I want to go on record. I think this is Melissa's last season. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I and I'm going to co-sign that. And I think Joe can get on his knees and cry to his sister and beg for forgiveness and say, I'm sorry. I think because Teresa finally found love again and she has a man to protect her, I think Teresa is like too little, too late. Because I think even if Teresa's, because that's her sibling, even if her heart felt bad for her sibling, her fucking, like she said, her only family, I think her husband would remind her that, you know why he's doing this. I think Teresa's done. I don't see them ever having a relationship. Sad, listen, that's sad because that's her only family. But she is building her own family with Louis and his children and the blended family. So kudos to Teresa for finally finding love and finding a family that respects her.
I agree with all of that. Where can everyone find you and listen to your amazing podcast? You need to come back. I have to go do a Miami. I have to talk to a Miami housewife now who I'm already late for. But you are like, you don't understand. You don't understand. I could literally sit here and talk to you for 3 hours.
So I know. That's why I want to come
your
back.
Your podcast is amazing.
Thank you, baby. That's why we'll have our stuff with Sarah Fraser. Okay. My podcast, Reality of the King, wherever you get your podcast, plus on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@thecarlosking. And at @thecarlosking_ is also where you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those things.
And I'll share all the links. And your podcast is great. And you literally have everyone on.
Thank you, David.
Everyone. We have to do this again. Don't be a stranger. And I'm going to DM you.
Okay. Love you, baby.
Love you.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review. Because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones. And the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you, guys. See you soon.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.